Facebook page. And so those of you who are live streaming, bless you. Glad you're here. And trust that this word will be encouraging to you. Well, Jed's one of my sons in the Lord and also one of my intercessors. So, Jed, would you pray for us? Amen. Let me share a couple of things, and then we will just jump into the sermon. One is out of our rector's council meeting the other day. We're going to keep up with what's going on, but our plans are that on the Sunday, the 12th of July, we will open up the nursery with a lot of little rules and some organization and taking temperature and all that kind of thing. Now, we'll give you an update on the 5th, and we'll explain more to you. I'll send some emails and that kind of thing, explain to you how we're going to do it. But we can always not do it. We'll see what happens. But those are the plans. We've had some folks really hoping we would get nursery going back, and there have been reasons we haven't done it. But we're going to give it a shot, and Lynn Talier is going to be helping a bunch with that. So be thinking about that, and we'll let you know, we'll give you details, but we'll let you know on the 5th. We're going to meet again on the 2nd. We'll let you know on the 5th if it's still on, okay? Also, there's some things we're going to do a little bit transitioning, not to the Eucharist being more normal, not drinking from a shared cup, so don't be nervous. I'll explain more of that later too. But it's going to be very safe, just a little more normal. And we'll start modeling that some in our noon services so that we give ourselves time to get kind of comfortable and can explain it as we go. All righty? I shared this word a couple of weeks ago at noon, which is a short thing. And I knew that day I wanted to share this on Sunday, and I've known for a couple of weeks what I was going to share last Sunday, what I'm going to share this morning, and again, what I'm going to be sharing next Sunday. All of it, at some level, is connected to the ascension of Christ. Ever since we went through that feast day during Easter, there's just been some things God's still been speaking into my life a lot, because we celebrate the resurrection every day. That's part of our Christianity. We're new creations because we're in union with the resurrected Christ. But to be in union with the resurrected Christ means that we're also in union with the ascended Christ. And there's been very little teaching about that in the body of Christ. And that's significant. I think that's been one of the things the thief has done to steal. Oh, let me just pray, because I know that when you have technical difficulties, someone might remind me, well, Bishop, could it be the devil? So let's just, we'll deal with that, okay? I'll give you a teaching lesson about dealing with the devil. Well, if you're any demonic spirits of harassment, impacting the electrical systems, the live streaming, all the electronics and digital things, in Jesus' name, boo. And we command, we've exposed any activity, we command, we bind you off all of it, and send you to the feet of Jesus. Amen. Okay. All righty. Let me read some verses to you. What I'm going to be talking about today particularly is experiencing the Sabbath rest of God. And I'm using that term very specifically, intentionally. Not just entering into His rest, but His rest is a Sabbath rest. And so we're going to be talking about entering into the Sabbath rest of God. Let me start with these verses before we go to Hebrews. This is in 1 John 5. Now, I've read these a few times in different settings, but let me read them again to connect some dots. Verse 3 of 1 John 5. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, has, past tense, overcome the world, our faith. And who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? In John 16, this is really familiar, verse 33. These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you may have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. And then, Revelation 3, verse 21. He who overcomes. Now, 1 John 5 said, if you're a believer in Christ, you have overcome. He who overcomes, I will grant him or her. I'm not changing the Bible, but it means both. I will grant him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. So when Jesus overcame, we were in him. And when he sat down on the throne at the right hand of the majesty on high, we sat down in him on that throne. And because we believed, that which has been accomplished for us has been applied to us personally and experientially. Or personally. It may not be your experience yet, but it is yours because you're in Christ and you've believed. Amen? Every single believer is born into a resting position. You have to understand that you're seated before you can ever understand what it means to walk. We walk seated. If you don't walk seated, then you're going to be striving to make the Christian life work, to win the battles daily. You're seated in one who has already overcome. And we're not fighting battles for victory. We're fighting battles from victory that we were born into. Okay? Let me read you the context of Hebrews 3 and 4, or remind you of the context. In these verses, beginning particularly in verse 7 of chapter 3 through verse 11 of chapter 4, the word rest is used 11 different times. Seven of those times it talks about his rest. One time it refers to his Sabbath rest. The word enter is 11 times. Like the idea being there's a rest that God has accomplished, that's ours in him, now enter into it. It's one thing to have something. I can own a house, and it can be totally paid for, but if I've never entered into it, I don't get to enjoy the good of it. Amen? Amen. The context is, Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, is comparing the Christian experience to the Jewish people in reference to Canaan. And when the Jewish people came out of Egypt, the Lord spoke to them a number of times that there is a promised land and it is their inheritance and it is already theirs. And every enemy that they will face has already been defeated, but they have to, by faith, go into that land and one step at a time believe in the victory that he's already won in the heavenlies, that it might be manifested in the natural. You with me? That's why Rahab, just before they entered in, and those two spies that Joshua sent, Ahab was stunned, told them that they were stunned, and all the people in the land were stunned. For 40 years, as to why the Jewish people had not entered in and taken what they knew God had already given to them. The enemy often has better theology than Christian does. He may not trust in terms of surrender to, of course, but demons know they've been defeated. They just don't want you to know that. And they'll do everything else to get you distracted with things like fear and situations and circumstances so that you don't know and you don't experience, enter into the good of the fact that the overcomer who overcame, you are in him and you're in a seated position. Seated carries the idea of something's been done. And so this scripture is about, I'll just read verse 1 of chapter 4. Therefore, let us as believers, or New Testament people, fear while there less remains a promise of entering God's rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, the gospel, just as they also. But the word that they heard, the Jews, did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. So even though the land was there, and each battle was already won from God's perspective in the heavenlies, it was already done, because they didn't unite that good news, that gospel, of the finished work of God on their behalf, it did not profit them. So let me read some more. For we who have believed, that's you and me, are entering daily, moment by moment, that rest. So when he uses the word enter, it's about experiencing. You possess it. You were born into a resting position. It's your possession, though it may not be your experience. What we want to do is enter in and experience what he's already accomplished for us. Now, again, think about what kind of restful heart that God does God have. How much is he at peace? How much anxiety and fear and worry and all the other things does God deal with emotionally? None. And it's his Sabbath rest that we have entered, that we are in union with, that he wants us to enter into and walk in experientially. It says in verse 3, for we who have believed enter that rest, just as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they, the Jewish people, shall not enter my rest. Although, now listen to this word, his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has thus said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. I'm going to keep reading. And again in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of the unbelief, the disobedience of unbelief. He again fixes a day today, saying through David, after so long a time, just as has been said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Whenever he talks about hardening your heart, it's about believing as opposed to unbelieving. For if Joshua had given them rest in the Old Testament, he would not have spoken of another day after that. There remains, therefore, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, us, just as God did his. Let us, therefore, be diligent about experiencing that rest. Okay? Let me read. I'm impressing you by being able to preach from my phone. If I only had a clear plexiglass pulpit, then I would have arrived. I like what it says This is verse 3 from the Passion Translation. For those of us who believed have entered in to that realm of confident rest that God experiences. But he said about them, I was grieved with them and made a solemn oath, they will never enter my calming rest of my spirit. God's works have all been finished from the foundation of the world. For it says in the scriptures, and on the seventh day, God rested from all his works. So here's what I want you to see. Again, God rested. He's talking in the context here about the Jewish people not entering into the rest. A whole generation didn't. And how unfortunate that was because God had rested from all of his works on the seventh day. What does that mean? The works that were needed to achieve the land of Canaan for the Jewish people, God had already done. In the spirit realm, in the heavenlies, it had already been accomplished. Like I said before. And therefore, he wanted them to go in and by faith, apply that victory one step at a time, Joshua 1:3, and experience what he's already accomplished for them. And then, and so entering into his rest is to go into those situations, not sweating it out on the inside, not in anxiety, but in restful and joyful confidence, believing that the victory they want to see manifested, he's already accomplished. They just have to step by faith, one step, one battle. And I love what he uses again and again in this set of scriptures. Today, if you hear his voice, entering into his rest, I don't know if you've experienced this yourself, it's a today thing. And the enemy fights you every day. I think I've said this recently, but just remind you, it says in Psalm 110 about Jesus. It says that he sat down at the right hand. The Father said, sit down. And then it said the Father put a scepter in his hand and said to him to rule over all of his enemies. Jesus ruled from a resting position. If you don't rule from a resting position, you will try to rest from a ruling position. You will try to control out of anger and frustration. People and things around you, a lot of anger is going to come out because you're afraid things aren't going to work out the way you want them to. But we only carry authority even in the realm of spiritual warfare. We can only rule from a resting place in the finished work of Christ. You with me? Because if you don't, in every area of your life, you'll try to find a place of rest through ruling. Instead of ruling because of rest. We walk seated. We walk in a seated position. If you don't remember anything else from today, remember that one. Because there's got to be an awkward image in your mind. Now let me find my trusty notes here. Oh, yeah. Okay. What did I say? We walk in a seated position. All right, everybody, ready? We walk in a seated position. Let's say it again, because I'm curious now. We walk in a seated position. So, if you discover after today that just amazingly, you just seem to be walking in more victory, and it's not just because of the sermon, we'll start doing that a lot. all right. In Hebrews, again, it says, therefore, verse 9, there remains therefore a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works as God did from his. And it says earlier in chapter 4, from all of his works. That was true about the Jewish people and Canaan. That's true about us. Everything and every situation that you will ever face, God's already been there. He's rested from all of it. When he says in verse 3, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. Does that remind you of another verse? Revelation 13:8. And Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world. See, that's the cool thing. We were saved before we were ever lost. Because that's how God operates. Now, everybody has to believe. God can do it all, but our job is to believe what he's done before it becomes ours. It's how you get saved, is by believing in what he's accomplished already. But you will not face anything, and you are not facing anything now that he's not already done. And our calling is to enter into that rest. We're in that rest, we're placed in that rest, but to begin to enter in simply means to see, to believe from that perspective. That he has no anxiety about this because he already sees the end from the very beginning of that situation. He sees the end from the beginning. He didn't see the beginning from the end, which is how most of us live our Christian life. When we get through and it turned out okay, we look back and go, oh, praise God. We see the end. We see the beginning from the end. But we don't live that way. God doesn't live that way. God sees the end from the beginning. Not the other way around. Don't wait to get to the end and then you look back and go, oh yeah, God was faithful from the very beginning. Understand that God sees the end from the beginning and he's at peace about what you're dealing with. He's already been there. He's already overcome. Our job is to do what? Enter into that. Just walk. The day is the day. And whatever the enemy throws at you, whether it's a temptation, he's already overcome that. And you're seated in him in a place of rest because that work's been done. And you can in that moment say, Siri just thinks I talked to her. God, I love this stuff. Siri, I hate you. You know she'll talk back real sassy. She'll say things like, I don't think that was very nice. She will. Really sassy stuff. I think, Olivia, are you in there somewhere? No. How did you get in my phone? Sorry. It's Father's Day. She won't be mad at me. When he says in verse 10 that we're therefore to rest from our works because we're in him seated and he's rested from all of his works. That's my spiritual posture. My emotional posture should reflect the spiritual posture that I have, that I'm seated resting in Christ. And everything I faced, he's already overcome. Whatever circumstance you're dealing with, fear and anxiety can't help. Do we pray into those things? Yes, we pray in the Spirit. We just don't scattergun pray. Jesus prayed as the Holy Spirit led him. We pray in the Spirit. And that doesn't mean, first and foremost, we pray in tongues. We pray. If the Holy Spirit puts something in your heart, it's just part of the partnership of walking this out. We pray. But he's already been there. He's already done it. As I said a couple of weeks ago, we get to wake up tomorrow and find out what God did. Amen? Amen. This is an enormous word in terms of transforming the way you view reality. He told the Jewish people that when you go in, you're going to have to dispossess them. But he says, I've already defeated them. But they're not going to move until they actually believe, when you put your foot down, that they've already been defeated. And then once you do, supernatural things happen, like Jericho. Let's see. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I don't want to get in the weeds too much. There's some verses I want to hear. This is real familiar. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and your paths. He will make your path straight. But the Hebrew word there for paths is a well-worn path. It's a path that somebody's already gone down before. Everything that you face is on the seventh day when God rested from His works, His Sabbath rest. He rested from His works in dealing with any situation you're ever going to face the rest of your life. He's already been there. He's already overcome. Remember? He's already overcome. He's not anxious about it. He already sees the end from the beginning. Now, can we miss it? Yes. It's like the Jewish people, by not believing. By doing the whole Christian thing, you know, when in trouble or in doubt, run in a circle, scream and shout. It's like hymn number one in the hymnal. Sadly. But whatever it is, He rested in that. That was His works that He, however many thousands of years ago, creation happened. He rested. He's already seen it. He's already overcome. And He's resting. And He's included you in that rest. You're seated. And so walk into it seated. Resting in a victory He's already won. You say, well, what if it doesn't look like the victory I was expecting? Thanks be to God, who always leads us in His triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. One, let Him do what He wants to do. Just because it may look like something, just keep walking in a rested position. Just walk in the seated place. Just keep trusting. Amen? This could be a hard word for our head to get around, but this is part of the wonders of the finished work of God. The victory that needed to be taken care of was done 2,000 years ago, before the foundation of the world, but manifested in time and space 2,000 years ago. But it was done before the foundation of the world. And everything you'll ever face, everything you'll ever go through, you can walk into that restfully confident. He's already overcome. Nothing takes Him by surprise. Let's see. These are some verses that I've loved for many years. I haven't read them in a long time. Just recently. This is Psalm 57, verse 2. I will cry to God Most High, to God who accomplishes all things for me. That sounds like present tense. It is, because we walk it out present tense, don't we? But look at what it says in Psalm 52, verse 9. I will give thanks to you forever, because you have already done it. I like Psalm 138 a bunch. And I'm going to read it to you as it's translated in the King James, because I believe this word means that. Remember what tetelestai means? The best translation for tetelestai is perfect. Not just the word finished, but perfect. Verse 8, Psalm 138. The Lord will perfect what concerns you. The Lord will perfect what concerns you. God's doing it perfectly. And then starts with a P. It's close. Philippians. I haven't read this verse in a long time either. I used to hear this a lot in my early days in the walk with the Lord from people. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. All that are promises for us, people who are seated in the overcomer at the right hand of the Majesty on high. With a view as we move forward and walk from a seated place, resting in the fact that I will face nothing the rest of this day that he's not already overcome. I can be confident in that. I don't need to be afraid of the outcomes of something. Don't fear the unknown. It might be unknown to you, but it's not unknown to him. He's known it since before the foundation of the world. Just like he knew you before the foundation of the world. In his heart and mind's eye. He says, that's called foreknowledge. And so when I bump into something, it's a surprise. But, well, remember, this was not a surprise to him. He knew it was coming. And he's already overcome. And from that place of faith and belief, I dispossess things like fear. And I dispossess things like anger. I dispossess the demonic. Because I'm stepping into God's finished work in every situation. That's the Sabbath rest. On the Sabbath rest, he rested from all of his works. And he said, now, for those of us who enter in, today, he says, I'm resting from my works. God doesn't need my help. And God doesn't need my striving. Remember from Ezekiel, God told the priest, when you worship before me, when you serve before me, don't wear any wool. Don't wear anything that makes you sweat. Linen garments everywhere. Linen turban, linen undergarments, outer garments. Don't wear anything that makes you sweat. Why is that? Because God's trying to speak about faith. If you have to sweat it out emotionally. I hear people say that term a lot. So how are you doing in the situation? I'm sweating it out. I don't know how it's going to turn out. Well, he does. He's not sweating it out. And that's the person you're in union with. You're seated there. Don't get up on the inside and try to help God out. He's already been there. He's already done it. He's already overcome. He knows all the details. Amen. Amen. Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.